Broadcasting from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Brett Powers with us on Fridays, talking college football, handicapping, and Brad, you just put out a couple of interesting tweets. One was the current college football game of the year lines, and I guess, Brad, game of the year would be just somebody's own opinion, but most of these games look like game of the year types, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's always at one's discretion. I mean, if you're alma mater, I guess every game is a game of the year if you're a particular fan of a particular school. But obviously, game of the year is the most important games for a college football season. And I just picked and choose there some of the bigger ones. And obviously, there's a lot more available at a couple of casinos here in Las Vegas. But yeah, when anyone says game of the year, usually it's your big rivalry games, your Michigan, Ohio State, your Alabama, Auburns, your Notre Dame, USCs.
Okay, so right now, and would this be at South Point, these numbers?
Yeah, okay. They are at South Point.
Right now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I should have attributed those to South Point, but with 280 characters on Twitter, I thought more important to get an extra game or two in there.
Right. Alabama and Ohio State are favored by 8 over Auburn and Michigan. Same number there for both of those. It's going to be interesting. Both those games, and I guess Alabama and Ohio State host those games this year. I believe I'm right on that one. Just looking at some of these numbers, and you can go with those two first. Would the Dogs be the place to be if you're trying to put down money right now?
I'll tell you where the early line movement's been. First, Auburn, Alabama. Actually, the money came in on Alabama. That one opened Alabama 7, now up to 8. You know, with Alabama having revenge in that particular game from what happened last year and being at home, I lean with Alabama minus the points in that one. Not going to have a bet. I'm not going to walk down to South Point and tie my money up until November on that one. I think that line's relatively tight. As far as the Michigan-Ohio State game, that game opened Ohio State a 9-point favorite down to 8. A lot of love for Michigan. I mean, Michigan's getting about as much love as any team in the country right now as far as off-season college football betting. I would say, again, that one's pretty much on the number. Shea Patterson turns out then that line's a little bit high in that particular game. But, I mean, let's face it, Michigan hasn't beaten Ohio State and Columbus since 2000. And a lot of those games outside of the one 2 years ago have not been relatively close, especially in the games played in Columbus. So, again, that's another line that I'm not going to hurry up and run down there and bet Michigan plus 8.
Did you just suggest or say that probably more, at least college football-wise, has been bet so far on Michigan than any other team?
Yeah, I mean, just going through it, I would say Michigan's getting about as much love as any. Right now, in future odds, they're like 5th favorite as far as the shortest odds. Behind in the big four, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Georgia. You look at week one, obviously one of the bigger line moves in week one. They open about a touchdown underdog at Notre Dame. Now a 1.5, 2-point favorite. You look at a couple of the other game of the year line moves. They open a 1-point dog at Michigan State. Michigan now a 1.5-point favorite, even against the Buckeyes. That line has moved a point, so really doesn't matter who Michigan's lined up against. And in those particular games, lined up against top 15 teams, Michigan getting a lot of love, and I would say Texas probably the other team getting about as much love in the game of the year markets. They have two of the biggest line moves. Texas, Oklahoma, that line moved 6 points. Texas opened a 12-point underdog, now a 6-point underdog. And then Texas against USC, where Texas at home opened a 1-point dog, now a 3-point favorite for the Longhorns.
For everybody looking at Clemson, Florida State, that's turned into, over the years, a really big game, actually bigger than Florida State, Miami, as far as importance. Clemson right now, if you wanted to tie your money up and go ahead and do something with it, Clemson is a 9-point favorite going to Doak Campbell, going to Florida State. How has that line, where's the money been going there?
Money's on Florida State slightly in that one. Clemson opened a double-digit favorite in Tallahassee. That doesn't happen too often as far as Florida State being a double-digit home underdog. So, you know, that one's moved about a point. And, you know, what's it take to move a point from probably a max bet or two, especially if the guys down there at South Point know the individual making that bet. So, you know, at least the early money in that particular game is on Florida State, and I agree with it. If I were to line the game and just pure power rating, I'd probably have Clemson more of a 7-point favorite down there at the Doak.
Wonder if Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback about that time.
That seems about right, yeah, because I think Clemson at least goes with Kelly Bryant for the first tough game for Clemson on the road at Texas A&M early on in the season. I think you at least got to give Kelly Bryant the start, and then if he starts to struggle, then maybe you go with Trevor Lawrence. But that seems like a decent time. You know, prior to that, Clemson's coming off a bye, and then they have NC State right before Florida State, so I would say a lot of times with these young quarterbacks, I'm always looking for when's the bye week and when can they get an extra week of practice. And, you know, not just the game before, you know, Clemson's coming off a bye, so I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they make the move there.
If you're just checking in, these are current college football game of the year lines. And, again, game of the year is random. I mean, that could be anybody's. But these are typically historically big games. Alabama at LSU. Now, that game hadn't been right. Now, there have been some close ones. But it hasn't been right, meaning both teams right, since 2011 when it was huge. Right now, Alabama's favored by 12 going down to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I mean, a huge – I'll have to check and see, but I can't remember the last time LSU was that big of an underdog at home. Last couple of times when they've faced Alabama, at least at home, they were 7.5-point dog. That was a relatively close game. And back in 2016, I think it was 0-0 heading into the fourth quarter before Alabama scored 10 points. You look at the game at home. Back in 2014, went to overtime. LSU was about a 6.5-point dog there. I mean, last year, obviously in Tuscaloosa, we're a 21-point underdog in that one. That was an historic line as far as LSU. I'll tell you what. I'll go after the first break. I'll have to go and see the last time LSU was catching doubles. Double digits at home. I got to think it's probably been 20 years for the Tigers last time they were that big of a home underdog.
I mean, if you think about it, Les Miles, and before that, there was Nick Saban. I mean, you're right. DiNardo had one double-digit win season before he got run a couple of years later. It's probably – now, again, we could be skipping over something that's right in our face and we don't see it, but might have to go pre-DiNardo. I mean, that's getting on back there, isn't it?
It is getting on back in the days where I was back in school. So, yeah, I will look at that during the break, and it might take me a break, a full commercial break, because, again, I'm thinking that we got to go back 20 years or at least 20 years for the last time LSU was catching that many.
Curly Holman era? I'm excited about whatever the answer is. I'm excited about it. Couple of others here, and we mentioned Bama minus 12 at LSU. Miami and Florida State, and that game is down there in Miami. Miami's favored by 8 right now in that one. Is that a little too high?
Yeah, I think that's a little too high. That's probably above a key number. I'd probably make Miami about 6.5-point favorite there. They finally, you know, got the monkey off their back last year in the final seconds, ending the long losing streak to Florida State last year. And I just think, generally speaking, Miami's a little bit better than Florida State coming into this season, while Florida State figured things out with Willie Taggart in year one. And you factor in a little bit of home field advantage for Miami. I don't think you get Miami in that particular game. Been watching the Florida State-Miami games over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, Florida State does travel quite well down there. So Miami a little bit better, and then give them about 3 points or so of home field advantage in that one. And I think the line should be probably closer to 6. So, you know, I get it. I've gotten a lot of Twitter mentions here about people thinking that one's a little too high. Go down there, tie up your money for be my guest, tie up your money for 4 months on that one. You can get Florida State +8, and again, I do agree with most of the guys on social media. I think that one's a little bit high.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. Just to reiterate for the audience, those that have not heard you talk about it, last time Alabama was an underdog was 2009 SEC championship game against the Gators, correct?
No, Georgia game, 2015.
That's the only game, though, since 2009. Right, and that's the one where all the smart people, including you, put the money on Bama, and it was a gift. It was an absolute gift. What was Alabama underdog in that game? You remember?
I think about 1.5.
Okay.
Back in 2015, yeah, 1.5-point favorite was Georgia in that one. Alabama wins 38-10, easy cover. That was one of the easiest bets that I made and picks that I made in that 2015 season.
I remember. Is there a team that even comes close to Alabama and their streak of so many games, with two exceptions, being the favorite in?
Ooh, that's a good call. I got to think Ohio State.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at it. But, you know, Ohio State, I think for the most part hasn't had too many underdog roles, and just generally speaking, I don't think Ohio State has been a dog since I think the national championship game back in 2014 against Oregon. You talk about gifts for a title game, catching a touchdown against Oregon and Marcus Mariota. That one was pretty easy, to say the least. Yeah, Ohio State has not been an underdog since that national title game. So, I mean, obviously, that's only a 3-year period, but still, that's a
pretty
significant sample size.
All right, we'll get the first break here. We'll also get you information on how to get Brad Powers' information. His service, bradpowersports.com. We're coming right back. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. A couple of wrecks being cleared up out here. Franklin Pike at Harding Place, Jefferson Street at 21st. Trying to recover from that two-car collision there at Nolensville Pike at Rosedale. It's heavy, but it's not too terribly bad here on 40 westbound at Spence Lane. We've seen it worse. It's still slow, however, 65 south at Trinity Lane. Half Price Foods, they've got two locations, Lebanon, Dixon. They've got food, household supplies. Go by this weekend. Save some money at Half Price Foods. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The debate about sports specialization by high school athletes continues. Some argue that high school athletes who play one sport all year long have a better chance of landing a lucrative pro contract. But that's simply not true. In fact, 30 of the 32 first-round picks in last year's NFL draft played more than one sport in high school. Of the 32 players drafted, 22 also participated in high school track and field. 19 also played basketball. Some also played baseball and lacrosse. What's the path to success for high school athletes here in Tennessee, no matter what their goals might be? Study hard. Always do your best, and if you can, play more than one sport in high school. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Thunderstorms across Music City this morning, 84 the high. Thunderstorms tonight, low 69. Partly sunny on Saturday, maybe a storm. Look for a high of 87. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, The Bill King Show is there to break it down.
From the David Price IMAX Center Studios, brought to you by the Omni. Okay, Brad, I can't wait to hear the answer on that LSU thing.
Yeah, and you know, I was racking my brain. I actually was thinking we'd go to 97 where LSU pulled that outright upset over number one Florida. But actually, it's only back to 2001. Last time LSU was catching double digits at home, played number two Gators team. LSU was a 13.5 point underdog in that one, lost. Got crushed 44-15 there. And again, that was under Saban back in 2001. And pretty much after that game is when LSU started turning their season around and turning their fortunes around, ended up, you know, going to the Sugar Bowl that year and ended up beating Tennessee, obviously, for the SEC championship. But back in 2001, we're a 13.5 point underdog to Florida. And right now in Vegas at the South Point, they're about a 12-point underdog at home to Alabama this year.
Wow. Now, I guess there's two ways we could spin that historically. Sad that they're a double-digit dog at home to a rival, but if it's compared to 01, they actually ended up winning the SEC, beat Tennessee in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, you can spin it and whatever That's way right. you want it, but I would be absolutely stunned if LSU wins the SEC this year. I mean, I would definitely give an old tip of the cap to Ed Orgeron, and I won't have my money on LSU to win the SEC this year, no question about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's hard to compare Coach O and Nick. Just something doesn't quite work there between those two. Wow. So anyways, a couple of these other rivalry games I was looking at. And again, Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com, and we will get you the information on how you can order his service. The Ohio State-Penn State game doesn't have any history compared to Michigan-Ohio State, but it's actually, the last few years, been a more important game. Moore's riding on it, and a couple of years ago, of course, Ohio State got upset by Penn State. Penn State ended up winning the league. Ohio State right now going to Happy Valley, a 2.5-point favorite. Is that tight or a little bit ambitious?
I think it's a little ambitious, and the money has been on the Buckeyes. They opened 1.5-point favorite in that game, now up to 2.5. It's tough. Look, Penn State, in my opinion, is going to take a step back this year. You know, you look at offensively, they've averaged 43 points per game in their last 20 games. But obviously losing Saquon Barkley and losing Joe Moorhead as a play caller, I do think, and Penn State on the other side of the ball lost seven of their top eight tacklers on the defensive side. So I do think Penn State takes a step back. But still, we're talking revenge spot for Penn State, who controlled the game last year, led by double digits for a majority of it. And at night, I got to think that's going to be the whiteout for them. So, I mean, Penn State at night whiteout is arguably, in my opinion, maybe the most hostile environment in college football during the course of a season. It's tough for me to lay the 2.5 with Ohio State in that game. I mean, Ohio State struggled. I mean, not only losing that game a couple years ago, but I think it had a double overtime game 4 years ago in Happy Valley. So it's not like they went in there and it's been a slam dunk victory. You also look at, for me, it's not like I'm going to favor Penn State. It's very tough for me to make Urban Meyer an underdog in any spot. So at 2.5, a little tight. I would probably have my line on the game. I'd have Ohio State pick them or Ohio State 1.
Rob in the 210 has a question, and let me search it out here. But it does involve the term middling. So we can get back into that a little bit. He says SMU versus North Texas. He says it opened as a pick 'em. It's now North Texas minus 3.5. He says, is this a game to play the middle?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't have a ticket on North Texas at Pick'em, so I can't middle personally in that particular game in week one. Yeah, I mean, obviously catching, going through a key number of 3, and Rob is, I think, really on top of that. I mean, if you're looking for middles, you want it through key numbers, and key numbers being 3, 7, you know, 10, just general football scores. And obviously, if you'd have had a North Texas Pick'em ticket, you know, at 3.5 points, you know, is not as big as some of the other line moves. Like, I mean, Notre Dame, Michigan, that one's moved about 8.5 or 9 points. But, yeah, I'm sure you could bite off a little piece on SMU on the other side. My line on that one right now, though, is North Texas 3. So, you know, 2 months before that game is being played and only a half-point difference between my line and the current line, that's a no bet for me at this point between SMU and North Texas.
And just for people new listening, give them the cliff notes on middling.
Yeah, I mean, I would say generally speaking, I would don't try this at home. But if you're going to try, you know, middling, again, like I mentioned, try to middle through key numbers of 3 and 7. And I would say this, if you already have a really good bet where, you know, you're ahead of the line move by several points, you know, don't lessen your chances of winning by middling anytime you got a big line move. I would say the only time you should be middling, if it's a significant line move, like that Notre Dame-Michigan game where it's moved a touchdown, or if you would have had a bet at the current line, like say, you know, you like Notre Dame in an underdog role. If you'd have saw that originally, Notre Dame plus 1.5 at home against Michigan, and you would have thought to yourself, hey, I want to bet Notre Dame in that game. If you'd bet it at the current number, then of course go ahead and middling it. If you really like that team at the other number, then by all means go ahead and do it. But I would say generally speaking, you know, it's tough enough as it is to win. And if you're already ahead of a line move by several points, you know, more often than not, your chances of winning that are 65% or so, and you just don't get that too often. Don't lessen your chances of winning just by trying to win 2 bets on a game. Take the money and run is what I'm trying to say for the most part.
Speaking of rivalries that have lost their punch and they're kind of flat, Notre Dame at Southern Cal, and right now, Notre Dame's a 1-point favorite.
I would bet Southern Cal there.
Right.
To me, I mean, you look at Notre Dame and the Coliseum. I mean, we go back to the 70s. I mean, the Coliseum's been a horror show for Notre Dame. I mean, last 8 trips, even in the 2 wins in 2010 and 2012, factoring those results into it, last 8 trips to the Coliseum, Notre Dame's been outscored by 20 points per game. And look, I have bet against USC early in the season, particularly their 2 early road trips at Stanford and at Texas. But at that point, no matter who's playing quarterback, whether it's JT Daniels, he's going to have a full year of experience. And I would say USC goes from maybe a play against team early in the season to a play on team specifically. And I mean, factor in USC's playing with revenge. I mean, last year, 49-14, loss in South Bend. SC was banged up there. That was their largest loss against the Irish since the 1966 game where they lost 51-0. USC with revenge at home. They normally dominate Notre Dame in the Coliseum. No question about it. I mean, of the games we've talked about so far on the show today, USC plus 1 over Notre Dame would be my favorite.
Be the favorite. When's the last time Notre Dame and Southern Cal played and it mattered to both teams. Well, let me change my wording. It always matters. It was nationally important. It had national implications riding on it for both teams. Bush?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, if they're both in the top 10, then it's probably, I think 2006, they were both in the top five, or top five, top six at the end of the season in 2006. I think USC won that one 44-24. Notre Dame entered 10-1, I think, with Brady Quinn in 2006 there. They got overshadowed because I think it was the same day as the Ohio State-Michigan 1-2 matchup in 2006. But, last year was kind of important. I mean, they both entered with one loss. It was kind of a national the title college football playoff eliminator there, both in the top 15. So I thought last year's game was probably as one that mattered where both teams were ranked. Obviously, 2012 when Notre Dame was number one, that was important on one side. But, yeah, I think you could probably, for both teams in the top 10, you got to go back a little more than a decade, 2005, 2006-ish.
Brad, tell everybody how they can get your service.
BradBauerSports.com. Dead top of the page, click on the Bill King tab. Everything we've been talking about today, if you're looking for lines on all college game of the years, week one lines, you want season win totals on all 130 teams, get it now for free. That's right. If you want current lines, you want my current picks, my bets that I made so far this college football offseason, go to BradBauerSports.com, click on the Bill King tab, top of the page, download the summer betting guide for college football for free. And if you like what you see, why not sign up for the upcoming season? It's the lowest price you'll see offered all year, $69. You're covered on a weekly basis. Every single college football game write-up, NFL write-up, top picks of the week, $69. You're covered through the Super Bowl. BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab, top of the page.
Bottom of the hour break. We're coming right back. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
There in the 4800 block of Franklin Pike on that accident with injury south of town. Still not too bad right now on 65 up through Williamson County, putting the final touches on that crash there in Jefferson Street at 21st, and still quite a bit of traffic 65 south here at Trinity Lane. New Beginnings Landscape, they're serving all of Middle Tennessee. These guys are absolutely the best. Call 256-8873. That's New Beginnings Landscape. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Napa Know-How. Right now, a three-pack of Peak microfiber cloths is just $1.99. But they're not just inexpensive, they're innovative. After all, they clean and dry and polish and support our troops. Because for every purchase of Peak microfiber cloths for $1.99, we'll make a donation to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. That's no average cloth. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 6/30/18.
Ah, the sounds of summer. And this is the sound of summer skin being scratched because of the itching and irritation of what the season can bring. You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. Cortisone 10 makes summer sound fun again. Cortisone 10. Feel the heal. Use as directed.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, one of the most romantic restaurants in Music City, and awarded the 2016 Wine Spectator Award of Excellence. For reservations, simply call 615-761-3707 or go to opentable.com.
Do you need business-related legal help? Then consider calling me, Jim Freeman, at 615-383-3787. That's James A. Freeman and Associates. My offices are in the Berry Hill area of Nashville. I have over 40 years of business legal experience. Call for an appointment or a free consultation where the parking and the coffee are free at James A. Freeman and Associates, 383-3787.
the Atlanta Braves are having a blast with a great balance of experienced vets and rising young superstars.
High fly to right field, hit this one very well. That one arcing toward the stands and gone for Ozzie Albies.
Tonight, the most exciting team in baseball is back in Atlanta as the Braves kick off a weekend series with the Baltimore Orioles at SunTrust Park.
Coverage begins tonight at 6:20 on your home for Atlanta Braves baseball, Nashville Sports Radio.
Happens anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show will be there to bring you the facts.
David Price, IMAX Center Studios. Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. West Coast Sooner tweets, I don't get why all these people think so highly of West Virginia. He says, just because they have a quarterback doesn't mean they have the defense to back them up. And I was noticing, Brad, those game of the year games and the spreads on them, Oklahoma's favored by, I would say, air quotes, only 6.5 in that thing. What's your thoughts on West Virginia?
Yeah, that's a very astute tweets there because everyone's on West Virginia this year, and I'm not necessarily. And I think it's very smart because the fact that everyone sees quarterback, Will Greer, I get it. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and he's got plenty of options to throw the ball to, one of the best wide receiver cores in the country. In that particular game against Oklahoma, West Virginia opened a 10-point home underdog. That one's been bet down through not two key numbers of 10 and 7, so a big 3.5-point line move there against Oklahoma. But overall, I agree with it. I'm not getting the overall love for West Virginia. I get it. You know, last year here was a team that probably would have won an extra game or two had Will Greer not gotten hurt at the end of the season in the Texas game. Had a horrible showing as far as the bowl game against Utah. But overall, 12 returning starters, sure, I think West Virginia's got one of the better offenses in the country, but defensive side of the ball, I got some major concerns. I mean, they gave up more than 31 points per game a year ago. I think they were barely in the top 100 when it came to total defense, giving up nearly 450 yards per game. And then you look at some of the attrition they've had, you know, lost a couple of defensive linemen in the spring. So I got some major concerns on the defense side of the ball, and I'm not buying this, you know, surprise national title contender talk. You know, West Virginia is about a double-digit favorite in the opener against Tennessee, but they got very tough road games at NC State, at Texas Tech, at Iowa State, at Texas, at Oklahoma State. I think West Virginia's season win total of 7 is right around the mark there. And, boy, right now in specifically the Oklahoma game, that's a little light now at 6.5. I would lean with Oklahoma minus the 6.5. And the Sooners, keep in mind, even 2 years ago, in a very important game there in Morgantown where both teams were ranked in the top 10. I think Oklahoma was about a field goal favorite there. Came away with a 4-touchdown victory on a snowy field. I agree with the tweet there. Not agreeing with all the love for West Virginia right now.
If the SEC East has a prayer other than Georgia, they're going to need Georgia to lose at South Carolina. Is there a number yet on that game? I know I've asked you, but is there a number?
Yeah, Georgia's a 14-point favorite at South Carolina week two. Georgia's been bet up from an 11-point favorite, now a 14-point favorite in that one. And if we're going Bob Steakhouse picks for today's show, I got a Bob Steakhouse pick on South Carolina plus 14. I think this is Will Muschamp's best team yet. Now they've been fortunate to win as many games as they've had the last couple of years. They found ways to win, but I mean, even last year in Athens, I thought South Carolina asserted themselves decently in that one, only losing by 14 on the road at Georgia. That should be a very hyped out crowd there in Williams-Brice Stadium. And keep in mind, I mean, last 64 home games for South Carolina, they're 50-14. So I think it's a very underrated home atmosphere, catching a full 2 touchdowns. Bob Steakhouse, well, we can start we officially have started the 2018 season. Bob Steakhouse, South Carolina, plus 14.
You think that's going to get bet down a little bit too?
Yeah, I think it is going to get bet down.
You think it's peaked, probably.
I'm actually surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the line moves in these week ones, game of the years, I would say 80 to 90% of them have moved according to my power ratings, at least where my power closer to where my power ratings have the game. And I got the game closer to 10 as far as Georgia being a favorite. And I got to think that one moves down as we get closer to the season.
How many games will Tennessee be favored in?
That's a great question. I'm thinking maybe five is all for the Volunteers this upcoming season. I mean, it is a tough schedule for them, to say the least. And obviously Tennessee will be favored, East Tennessee State, UTEP, and also Charlotte. So those are three. The Kentucky game, I know we talked about a month ago when that came out. You know, Tennessee hadn't been a home underdog to Kentucky in 40-plus seasons. That one's now pick 'em. And I would think by the time that game comes around, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Tennessee's a slight home favorite there. So that's four. That might be it. And maybe at Vanderbilt, depending on what Derek Mason has by the end of the year. But, I mean, Vanderbilt has taken control of that series at least the last couple of years with back-to-back double-digit wins. You know, Missouri at home, Tennessee's probably going to be a slight home underdog. They'll be a home underdog at home to Florida. I definitely don't see, you know, outside the Vanderbilt game, none of the road games, including week one in Charlotte against West Virginia, I don't see Tennessee being anywhere near a favorite in any of those. So, you know, I guess my guess is four or five at most. And looking at Tennessee's win total, it's 5.5 right now with the under a little bit more as far as the juice there. Again, I'll say this. If Jeremy Pruitt gets the Volunteers to a bowl game this year, he'd have done a heck of a job, in my opinion.
Yeah, so 4 to 5 games right now they'd be favored in, depending on the circumstance.
Yeah, 4 or 5. And I guess optimistic would have them favored maybe. I mean, I would say the most optimistic would be 6 games, the very most optimistic. But that would mean, you know, Missouri probably have a little bit more of a down year. Kentucky a little bit disappointing. You know, Derek Mason on the hot seat at Vanderbilt, where Tennessee be a road favorite there. But it's tough making them too much of a favorite. I mean, they're coming off an 0-8 conference season. And a lot of these teams, it's not like, the Kentuckys, the Missouris, the Vanderbilts are taking a major step back this year.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. A few others I wanted to get into here. What's the general outlook? I know a lot of people are high on this year, number 2 under Texas, under Tom Herman. And obviously we talked about the Texas and Oklahoma game. We've talked about that in the past. What do you think's fair for them this year?
I think a fair number is probably their current season win total at South Point, 8.5, which was higher than most of the other markets that opened up in the season. I saw one offshore book open 7. I would have had one of the biggest bets of the entire year on over 7 wins. Looking at Texas, I think 9-3 maybe sounds about right. And I'm a little bit more optimistic on Texas than most. I like the returning talent, 14 returning stars. I think the offense does make a general step up. You know, defense returned 7 starters, but I could argue that they did lose probably their 4 best players on the defensive side of the ball, and linebacker Jefferson, Elliott at safety, you know, cornerback Hill, and up front, you know, Puna Ford, I thought was their most disruptive defensive lineman. But I think they're going to make a step up, and I think this is the best Texas team since at least probably 2012, where they went 9-4. Looking generally on their schedule, it's not an easy schedule to say the least, but I just look at road trips. I mean, the Maryland games played in Landover, Kansas State, I think that's probably one of their tougher road trips. Oklahoma State, obviously, in Stillwater, but Texas Tech, Kansas, those are, I mean, two of the worst teams in the Big 12. They get USC at home, TCU at home, West Virginia at home. I could see Texas being favored in 9-10 games, and I think 9-3 would be a really good season for Tom Herman in year 2.
Brad, we'll let you run. Tell everybody one more time about Brad Power Sports.
BradPowerSports.com, dead top of the page. Click on the Bill King tab. Download the summer betting guide for free if you want my week one picks, favorite best bets on the board. You need power rings, returning starters, you name it. It's all in that summer betting guide for free, even some NFL information in there as well. If you like what you see, $69 for the newsletter. You go to BradPowerSports.com, click on the Bill King tab, top of the page.
See you next week, bud. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, right back at you. Take care.
Brad Powers, BradPowerSports.com. That is a fantastic hour. We get to the playing portion of the season, it's the entire hour because it never stops. If you missed it, Notre Dame got a running back yesterday. Kyren Williams is the running back. That's a guy that they've been coveting. There was a tweet earlier from Will Miles that said 6 months in and question still about Florida recruiting. Jake Wimberly down in Mississippi, and he's got his show in the afternoon. We've been on his show, and he's been on this show. Said, anybody that knows the staff that Mullen took with him to Florida understands that's not a great recruiting staff. Interesting. Here's exactly the way it reads. Most people, high school coaches as well, in Mississippi, will tell you the staff that he took to Florida from Mississippi State are not good recruiters. That's how he worded it. This is not a shock on Mullen to see Gator recruiting numbers drop. You know, it is interesting. Now Mullen was there previously, but not as the head coach, so that's different. At Mississippi State, you're typically not going to have a sexy recruiting number. This year now, we pointed out yesterday, they're like, and I'm not looking at it right now, somewhere around 14th, maybe 16th, but their number is really attractive given their history. They're not a really sexy recruiting ranking football program. They have to overachieve typically, and they've done some of that historically. That 1980 team beat Alabama. Jackie Sherrill had a couple teams. Got a team to the SEC championship game. Obviously, Dan Mullen more recently. But I tell you what, I am not negotiable when it comes to Florida and recruiting. I don't take any crap on that topic because I don't care who you are and what your background is or was or where you came from. If you can't recruit a top five class to Florida, there is something wrong. I don't care what your relationship situation is with the high school coaches. I don't care if you're the most boring guy ever. That is a place where if you don't recruit top five, then there's something significantly wrong. Effort, want to, philosophy, something is wrong. Now, again, I'm not going and blasting Mullen. He hadn't coached a game there yet. I'm not doing that. I think that was a pretty good hire. I don't think it was the hire that Urban Meyer was or Steve Spurrier was, but I think it was a very good, solid hire. I think the circumstances are going to make it for him tougher to be what Urban Meyer was or Spurrier. Mainly because Nick Saban's sitting there. And Georgia is right now at the highest point they've been since the early 80s. So significantly, it's going to be tougher. But I don't take any BS when it comes to Florida and recruiting. There are no excuses. You are maybe at the most attractive places, locations, geographically speaking, in America. There are a few others, but Florida is one of them. And the state of Florida has way more magic when it comes to national championships than any other state. Texas, California, Georgia, any of them. You look at the natties that state has produced, beginning in 83, and it blows California, Texas, and any other big, powerful, populated, full of players state. It destroys all of those states. If you take those states and combine them, it does not produce the natties that Florida produced since 83. Not even close. So we've got history to go with there, too. It's not just making stuff up. We've got almost 40 years of data to point to there. That's a good chunk of stat, right? That's a lot of stuff to be looking at. We need one more break on this Friday edition. Good stuff there with Brad. Brad Powers every Friday with us. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Traffic still tied up there in the 4800 block of Franklin Pike on that accident with injury south of town. Still not too bad right now on 65 up through Williamson County, putting the final touches on that crash there in Jefferson Street at 21st, and still quite a bit of traffic 65 south here at Trinity Lane. New Beginnings Landscape. They're serving all of Middle Tennessee. These guys are absolutely the best. Call 256-8873. That's New Beginnings Landscape. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Grainger stands for safety, and they know what safety stands for. S, safety. A, all about safety. F, feeling good about safety. E, extreme safety. T, talking about safety. Y, you guessed it, safety. First aid kits, eyewash stations, fire protection, you name it. For over 90 years, they've been helping to keep facilities safe and people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The Braves are back and ready to make 2018 the year they got back into the race for the National League East.
High fly, deep to left field, back toward the wall.
Your Middle Tennessee home to catch all the action of the 2018 Atlanta Braves baseball season is right here on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
WNSR weather.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Thunderstorms across Music City this morning, 84 the high. Thunderstorms tonight, low 69. Partly sunny on Saturday, maybe a storm. Look for a high of 87. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Yeah, Florida right now, I just pulled up the composite, 24-7 composite, the 27th. Now, that's 10 players, so that number doesn't have to be solidified. It doesn't have to be the permanent number. I mean, we're in June, but a lot of official visits happen. The calendar's all changed up. Now, there's a dead period coming up, too, but got to remember, dead period, people think dead period means there's no contact. That's not at all what it means. It means you can't be face-to-face, but they're still in contact. Yeah. Over the years, people assume dead period means it's shut off. I mean, nothing's going on. No. Just means face-to-face. They're in contact. I mean, July is a big month. If you're going to get away and get some vacation time, if you're a coach, it's coming up, July. So during the dead period, because of no face-to-face, that's the time to do it. So they tag team it. A few guys get off, then a few other guys will get off, because you always have tons of people in the office. You always have people mining the store while you're gone. So they do it in shifts, vacations, etc. But dead period, you're on vacation. You're absolutely in communication with Johnny Five Star. No. You're not getting away and really, really getting away. You're just getting away. You're always in touch with Johnny Five Star. You can't disconnect from Johnny Five Star. If you do, you will not get Johnny Five Star. Always got to be recruiting. On your vacation, when you walk to the beach, okay, you take your vacation, you go to the beach, and first day on the beach, you're standing there, and you can walk to your left and set up camp there, or you can walk to your right. The first thing you think before you go left or right is, how will this affect recruiting? Your mind can never disconnect from that. Seriously. You can never escape. It's that kind of job. A lot of jobs out there, when you go to the beach, you can escape. Most jobs, you can probably go to the beach and escape. Just mentally disconnect. Freshen up the mental batteries, right? Can't do that as a coach. Not as the head coach. Nope. It's got to be on your mind every second of every day. Before you turn the light off at night, you're going to go nighty-night. How is this nap going to affect recruiting? You're driving your car and you get to a stop sign. You can go straight, you can go left, you can go right. How does that affect recruiting? Everything you do should be obsessed with, how does this affect recruiting? It's pretty good living. And here's the other good thing about that. Even though that sounds obsessive, compulsive, if you're really good at it, they'll pay you like $5 million a year. And here's the other thing. If you're really good at it and they're paying you $5 million a year and then for some reason you stop being good at it, typically they owe you like $10 million when they fire you. So it's worth being obsessive, compulsive. You got to be good at it first, though. You can't just be blindly obsessive, compulsive. You've got to be really good at it. There's your lesson today, everybody. Yeah, that's interesting talking to Brad. LSU right now would be a double-digit underdog to Alabama at home. And Brad brought up, I wonder when the last time was that they were a double-digit dog at home. And I thought maybe you had to get back to the Curly Holman era. Matt Smith brought it up on Twitter. And he was right. He guessed, and it was an educated guess. 0-1 the Florida game, and he was right. Brad looked it up. It was 0-1. What was ironic, again, is LSU ended up winning the national championship that year. The SEC title. Not Natty. That was the great Miami team. Don't want to slight the U there. That U 0-1 team may just be the best team on paper ever. Modern history ever, what have you. Might just be. That's a debate that, again, everybody's got their angle and bias. I don't really have an angle when it comes to that one. Doesn't matter to me who's the best. I don't care who. If it's Slippery Rock, so be it. But it's hard to take that 0-1 team and say your team had more players than that. Now, I can take another team and say you had a better coach than Larry Coker. Because as we saw, Larry, once the talent started eroding, couldn't coach him out of it. What would Nick Saban have done if he had the Miami job between Butch Davis and the end of Larry Coker? What would Nick have done? How many natties would he have reeled off in there? God knows. I don't even know why I just thought that. Can you imagine? He'd have 10. Instead of having six right now, he'd have 10 natties, probably. Alabama fans would be saying, man, wish we could have got that Nick Saban guy. Look at what he's doing. It's amazing. Luckily for you Tiders, that did not happen. And Miami's got Mark Richt, who has got him vying for top 10 stuff now. So that's all good as well. Crazy Charlie does a fantastic job at Crazy Charlie 615 on Twitter. If you dial me up, that's who you get to. He'll process you in every time. He hosts many shows as well. He's a hockey aficionado, a college football aficionado. Likes all the sports. Likes many more sports than I do, actually. At Crazy Charlie 615. And he'll have all the archives always posted up for you so you can hear the show again, or if you miss part of it, you can go back and listen. Either way, interviews cut out for you hour by hour. You can get it pretty much any way you want it served up. It's up there on Twitter at Crazy Charlie 615. Follow me at Bill is King on Twitter. It's a wonderful thing. Twitter, and I wasn't a big social media guy, but Twitter for the show and Twitter for interaction during college football games is a marvelous, wonderful tool. I don't know what we did all those zillions of years before it. We just didn't have it. It was one of those, you don't know what you don't know. But Twitter is fantastic. Now, it's not fantastic for politics, but it's fantastic for what we do. And that's the college football game. We have a PhD in it. We own it. Lajpa.